Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. You're listening to the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name, of course, is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode number 475 of the program. We very much appreciate your patronage. You're going to probably want to call in on this one. It's a classic. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that want to call in because there's been many people that have asked to be a part of this movie or asked us to do a podcast about this movie. So we would love to get your feedback, good or bad. Send us an email if you'd like. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Additionally, you can call us 949-464-TBLS-8257. And of course, I always ask that should you have it in your heart and your wallet that you subscribe to the bonus content we provide here every week, do so via the link in the show notes on whatever app you're listening to the show on. I imagine there will be quite a bit extra this week that we discussed that is not available via the free show. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well, but once again, my childhood memories have played tricks on me.
That's for sure.
With this movie, absolutely. And we can discuss as we move forward.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm excited to do that. We are also joined by special guests. First time on the program. You know, we get a lot of repeat customers here via the movie reviews, mostly because I realized we got to review a movie the next day and I got to just reach out to somebody I know, but I've been wanting to have this guy on for a while. We've done stuff together in the past. I'm happy to have him. We're joined now by the great Zach Xavier. Zach, how are you, buddy?
I'm well. This is the note, Zach. I want to come in on, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm glad. It's good to have you. The question is begged and I know my audience wants to know, having just said your name out loud for the first time, I'm wondering, and I know everyone else within the sound of my voice is as well, do you have a past or are you possibly hoping to branch out in the future into a career in twink porno? Twink
porno. Wow.
Zach Xavier.
We all have to dream.
Yes.
You know, I never take anything off the table. So far, no luck. Yes. But you know, I'll leave my contact details at the end of this segment. Okay. And we'll figure it out.
Well, you're ready. You're all fired up. We're stoked to have you. I'm stoked that you're here.
Absolutely.
And this is a movie that a lot of people have asked us to record, as I mentioned before. It was to my mind a classic, and I'll be honest. And people are always, I watched this movie with my girlfriend, and I was like, I remember renting this movie from the where, because she's like, oh, I saw this in the theater with my dad. And I was like, I wasn't that lucky. But I do remember renting this movie. I remember wanting it so bad because
the cover seemed, yes, pretty cool for a kid, yes, in the 80s.
It was the car. It was the matchstick, the violence. It was just like, it was just a certain time where this kind of movie you really anticipated. So I remember renting this movie from the warehouse, probably not long after it came out, maybe 1987 or so. And I'll be honest, I think that's the only time I've ever seen it. I think I saw it one time in 1987 and then again two nights ago. Now, Zach, you are much younger than Ed and I. What is your experience? Had you seen Cobra before I asked you to come on board and talk about it on the show?
I didn't think I had, but I weirdly had a familiarity with some of the,
yes,
the,
yes,
pop culture of it all. So
you had heard of it? Like, this was a movie that you were at least aware that it existed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. You know, I know Brigitte from Flavor of Love, of course.
Yeah.
It's good to see her, you know, pre-Flav.
Yeah.
So I think it's my first time seeing it in full and really fully experiencing it.
Yeah, I would say that the one, like, I was roundly disappointed by this movie on the rewatch, but I will say the one place where I was pleasantly surprised was a young nubile Brigitte Nielsen. As I wasn't particularly a fan of her in Rocky IV.
She was pretty severe looking in Rocky IV.
Very, very severe. And this one, they had her wigged up because she probably still had the short hair from Rocky IV.
Oh, in the robot photo shoot, you know, myriad wig.
Yes.
Love to see it.
Yes.
That was a weird scene.
I mean, she was bodied up. She was pretty. Like, I was really, and leaps and bounds, not the worst performer in this movie. There were many terrible performances in this movie, none of which were made by Brigitte Nielsen, who I thought was very good. Let's play the trailer, and then we'll get into. Of course, we're talking about Cobra. I can't remember if I mentioned this. Cobra, the 1986 Sylvester Stallone vehicle, and a classic. Oh, I keep every time I go to play it, Ed. You'll be excited about this, and Zach, I'm sure you will too. Every time I go to play the there's an ad before the trailer, and now it's not on, but it was every time before this.
What's the ad for, out of curiosity?
That's what I'm telling
you. Before a Cobra trailer.
This is what's so exciting. New Gerard Butler movie coming out. Kandahar.
Jerry Buss?
Yes, yes.
Well, see, I'm on board with that. I would think for Cobra.
Yes.
For Cobra.
Yeah.
I would think it would be like Depends or something. Ooh. Because, like, this is
some male enhancement type stuff.
Yes, exactly. Okay, let's check out the trailer.
Society is breeding a new kind of criminal. It's also breeding a new kind of cop. Meet Cobra. He does the job nobody wants.
Necessary deadly force.
I used everything I had.
Okay,
you know you have an attitude problem.
Yeah, but it's just a little one. You think you would recognize me if you saw me, Ken?
The tall one?
Yeah. The one that wants to kill you.
Do what you have to do to get a lead on this maniac.
And if I find him,
do what you do best.
Yeah. Blow a lot of shit up. Endanger the life. He's got machine guns. Other guns. Wears sunglasses.
Stallone is Cobra. The strong arm of the law.
Fuck yeah, he is.
The guitar.
Oh yeah, no, it's so good. Like, everything about it is just so beautiful.
Before we get into it, I really miss trailer narrator guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was an era. Yeah.
I know.
Those were the days.
The good old days. I can't remember that guy's name. It was just that one guy.
In a world. Yes.
Every trailer.
Yes. He was so good. And he's dead, but he probably died from suffocating because his mattress was stacked so high with cash that his nose was actually rubbing against the ceiling. And then he went to bed one night and he was just like, oh my God, I can't breathe. I'm stuck here. Oh my God. And he choked to death. He suffocated on his own ceiling because his mattress carried him up there with all the cash he stacked from reading these trailers. Okay.
Maybe we all.
Yes, I know. I agree. I wish I had that kind of pipe. So let's talk about this movie, Cobra. It's Stallone, right? He's coming off Rocky IV. He had just negotiated. He had just shepherded Beverly Hills Cop through the, you know, he used his juice and he's like, we're making this movie, Beverly Hills Cop. He was signed on to star. I can only imagine what a terrible movie that had been had it gone on, because he wanted to take all the comedy out of Beverly Hills Cop, which is what makes it like such a special movie and it's unforgettable.
While we're still close to the trailer narrator, the great Don LaFontaine.
That's his name. Yes. Amazing.
So he was that those pipes.
Yeah.
How old do you think he was? This is 87?
Yeah. Yeah. 1987.
How fucking old is this guy?
How?
Got a Michael Ironside type thing going, maybe.
Yes.
Oh. 65?
Yeah. Michael Ironside, of course.
What's his age?
Who played Viper.
Oh, in Top Gun.
In Top Gun. Or, wait, Jester. He played Jester. The grizzled old fighter pilot that had flown missions in Nam, and he was like 32 when they made that movie. He just looks old as fuck. I'm gonna say 1985 when this movie was made.
Donald Leroy Fontaine.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he was in his mid 60s, like 63.
Zach.
You know, Price is Right rules. I'm going to go with 64.
Oh, one over. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Don LaFontaine from Duluth, Minnesota, was born August 26, 1940. He was probably 46 or 7 years old.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow. Wow.
Cigarettes used to be better, man. Yeah, cigarettes used to be better.
They did.
He checked out in 08 at the age of 68. So
68?
And that was a good 21 years after this trailer.
Unbelievable. Well, he lived a good life. You could see why he went out at 68.
Yeah, those pipes.
So this movie is basically, Cobra is a, he's I don't want to say he's a rogue cop.
Zombie squad.
Yeah, he's on the zombie squad. He's
Did you feel like there was something on the cutting room floor? Because there was talk of Zombie Squad, but we didn't actually know anything about the Zombie Squad.
Still have yet to meet. It's a squad of people, right? A squad of cops. Still have yet
apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Is there a second member of the Zombie Squad that we're going to be introduced to at any point? I'm still waiting.
Were they planning on like a whole spinoff series of the Zombie Squad?
Where's the Zombie Squad?
With Cobra, Marion Cobretti, and Poppy from Seinfeld, who peed on the couch.
I was wondering who that guy was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poppy's a little sloppy.
Yeah, he really is. Hold on. I had this scene. So in between the time that I watched this movie, and then I went back today, and I was going to timestamp a couple clips, HBO Max has switched to something called Max.
To Max.
Yes, and I'm like... they're like, you got to get a new app. You got to
I re-logged in, went through all the process because I wanted to put it on in the background while we're doing this.
Yeah.
And I see the like, hey, it's coming. It looks like the same old shit that was on there before.
Yeah, why don't they how come there's no new shit? How come it can't just be called HBO Max still? It's got to have a new name. That's really annoying. And also, it's a new app. So, but I did find some clips.
Please tell me you have the first. My favorite part was the first scene of the narration in the movie.
Yeah, I think I
got to talk about that.
I think I do have that. It says Cobra 1986 supermarket scene. Hold on, it's taken.
This feels like it opens like this is a Newsmax original movie.
Yeah, okay.
And they hit you with stats.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if the narration's here, but let's check it out. Oh, you know what? I don't think it. I think this comes in after it because this is when he shows up to the grocery store.
No. Yeah.
I wrote it down.
Okay, let's hear it.
In America, there's a burglary every 11 seconds.
Yes.
An armed robbery every 65 seconds. A violent crime every 25 seconds. A murder every 24 minutes. And 250 rapes a day.
I love that last line because they're like, I can't do that kind of math. Or
they couldn't do the math.
That doesn't sound as impressive if we do the division. So they're just like, all right, 250 rapes.
250 a day. It is weirdly modern in the sense that we live in an era where there's people in this country that are really fearful of cities And they're like, oh, I ain't going to a city, because if I go to a city, as soon as I get off the plane, a junkie's going to stab me with the heroin needle and somebody's going to steal my wallet. And then in this movie, that's the world that Stallone has painted, who wrote the script, by the way, has painted.
I don't understand what per capita means, so I think I'm going to be murdered.
Yes, yes.
Well, and I'd like to give Sly credit, because, you know, it's great to really play to your strengths to open a movie. Yeah. You know, just go straight VO. Yes. I know, Bri, you said you watched this with a lady.
Yep.
And I watched it with a lady friend of Puerto Rican descent, English, lifelong English speaker. Uh-huh. At the end of that VO, she asked me to turn it up and said, my English, I guess, isn't that good. And I'm like, no. You're fine. I'm with you on that.
He's not speaking English.
No, he isn't. There's very little dialogue in the movie. Let's just catch
it. I rewound it like six times to get those stats.
Yeah, totally. Let's just jump in and let's get a little bit of the scene. There's been a takeover of with unknown motives. By the way, there's been a takeover of a grocery store. And the cops are going full Uvalde, where they're like, oh, I ain't going in there. Fuck that. This guy got a gun in there. I ain't going where a guy's got a gun. I got a pension. You know, I'm trying to get disability here. You think I'm going in there? Fuck that. So they got to call in Cobra, who drives up in his hot rod. And then he just goes, he's like, oh, okay, I'll go in. And he just walks in the front door, because that's what a guy like Cobra does. He doesn't need SWAT. He doesn't need to fucking cut through the ceiling. He just walks right in the front door.
He shows up in his 1950 Mercury with the personalized license plate.
Awesome Merc.
Says,
or no, awesome 50.
50.
Yeah. Okay.
How bad is it?
It's bad.
Any ID on the guy?
Just another asshole woke up hating the world.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. Cobra.
Look, I don't agree with them bringing you in here. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on! Move! Now, he's back in the dairy section, which is a weird place to hang out. And also, he's indiscriminately murdering people, but he also has hostages. So, like, which is it?
He
shoots a lot of food, too.
With the shit on the shelves.
He does.
He's just shooting up, like, stuff, like Bartles and James and Rice-A-Roni.
This movie has a weird relationship with food. This movie has a weird relationship with food.
We'll talk about the pizza choices in a minute. Stallone goes in there, Cobra, doesn't take off his sunglasses. Apparently he sees, it's a dark store, the power's out. But he keeps his sunglasses on, he's chewing his matchstick. Eventually he throws down with this guy. He distracts him, he runs through the Bartles and James. Then, like, this is how you know he's a fucking true psychopath. He's just a cop on the edge. Cracks open a warm Coors.
Banquet beer.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Like, you couldn't grab a cold one? Sips a warm Coors and tosses the rest as a distraction to the bad guy. Hold on. There's he ends up knife murdering him. Hold on. I'll jump ahead here.
After, I think, 4 or 5 one-liners.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I just ask you guys a question? Before the supermarket, like, after the statistics, did you guys know what was going on with all the guys clanging their axes together?
No.
They showed like some sort of weird ritual where the guys were clanging axes together.
No, and after this scene, I'm gonna explain all that to you, because it's not explained in the movie at all, and we're supposed to understand it, and it's not. It reminded me a lot of a movie of a similar time, 1987, I believe, Dragnet. With Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd, where Christopher Plummer is the bad guy, and there's a satanic cult in Los Angeles. Yes, the pagans. Yes, exactly. It's similar to that, but not nearly as well spelled out. They don't try to. They're not doing any ritual sacrifices, or they are, but they're not telling us that that's what they're doing. Somehow he's made his way into the walk-in freezer, and then he pops out of that. I don't know.
He keeps pirouetting around.
Yes. He's inside the store, and then somehow he comes out of the freezer, which we did not see him enter. And having worked at many restaurants, there's only one way in and out of the walk-in freezer. It's that huge door that he just jumped out of.
I got a bomb here. I'll kill her. I'll blow this whole place up.
Go ahead. I don't shot her.
Best line in the movie.
It's a good line.
Hey, just relax, amigo. You want to talk? We'll talk.
Now to set it up for the audience, and I know everyone has recall of this movie much better than I do, but the bad guy, he looks kind of like the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. I think that's who he's based on.
He's got a bit of an almost Edward James, yes, almost. I fell asleep in a gravel driveway.
Yes, yes. He had a teenage acne situation.
Got a late Leota.
Yes, yeah, similar. Yes, and yeah. He's standing there. He's got a sawed off shotgun. He's got many hostages.
I'm looking right now. He just took a shotgun right to a pile of grapes.
Yes, yeah. He's shooting food. He sends one construction worker. He goes, "Oh, you can go. Just hey, head on out of here." And the construction worker, clearly not a fan of the zigzag exit move, just walks down the fucking dog food aisle and gets shot directly in the back. So he's just there's no real rhyme or reason to what he's doing here. But. Cobra's got the drop on him. He comes in. He's got a 45 right on him. Clear shot. Yes, Zach?
The other thing I want to point out, in a scene like this, usually the way it works, you know, they face-to-face, a little back and forth, and our protagonist gets a one-liner, and then, conclusion.
That's it. Yes.
In this scene, Sly has four or five different ones.
That's right.
Before, he talks. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
Is the next one, you're the disease and I'm the cure?
I'm the cure, yeah. That's when he takes him out. So now he goes, let's talk. And then he puts down his gun for no reason.
Conversation.
I don't want to talk to you. Now you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring it in.
Can't do that.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put them away.
I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero. You're looking
one liner number three.
Runner. I'm a hero of the new world.
You're a disease. And I'm the cure.
Yeah. Sorry for stepping on that.
Die! Hey! Drop it!
You think they're going to try to sell that meat? He just fell like all over the ground beef. Now, he could have just walked in and shot him, but instead he had to put his gun down, produce a knife, throw a knife through his chest, and then shoot him because he had to get his line off.
And a good action movie, he would say, "I don't shot here," and shoot him.
Yes,
right. He gets the line in.
Yes,
that's a really very realistic thing. There, I think though, is the amount of time between him saying "drop it" and him shooting is none.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So he's here's what we know. We don't know. This is what we're meant to know. So the movie starts out, there's guys clanging and they look like kind of like businessmen types. Like there's some losers, but also there's some kind of like balding guys in like suits also. And they're in this stuff always takes place in the sewer system. You know, we don't have a subway in LA. So they're down like under the ground somewhere in the sewers. And they all have axes and they're just clanking them together in some kind of like ceremony over their head. So I read about it. Okay. And this is something that I didn't know. So after a failure of negotiations between a lone armed gunman and law enforcement during a hostage crisis. Now, I don't recall seeing any negotiations, but that's not important.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. It wasn't a hostage thing.
Yeah.
He shot up fruit.
Yeah.
And Bartles and James bottles.
Yeah.
And then, like, occasionally a person, but there was no.
Yeah. And there
was no plan.
They all went parkland and just hung out outside waiting for the good guys to show up. And that was Cobra. Yeah. A lone armed gunman and law enforcement during a hostage crisis at a Los Angeles supermarket, the LAPD summons Lieutenant Marion Cobretti. Big reveal, by the way. That was like a big
Marion
stinger that he's later in the movie. The other guy tells Brigitte Nielsen to call him Marion, which is his given name.
You know why he's called Marion?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to tell you right now. And I'm like, look, I don't want to spoil it. But it has to have something to do with John Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah.
He personally wanted it to be named after John Wayne.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's his real name.
A member of its elite division known as the Zombie Squad. Again, we still have not identified a second member of the Zombie Squad. Cobretti, addressed by his codename Cobra, infiltrates the store. And by infiltrates, they mean he just walked in the front door. Locates and negotiates, doesn't at all negotiate, with the gunman, who threatens him by speaking of a vague and unknown organization known as the New World. Now, he did kind of mention that. Yes?
Yeah, but not in a proper noun sense.
Yes,
he said a New World.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good point. Yes, he just seemed like a regular-ass crazy person. Unknown organization known as the New World. A supremacist group of social Darwinist radicals that despise modern society and believe in killing the weak, leaving what? Only the strongest and smartest what? To rule the world. Now, I watched this movie two nights ago.
I was just going to ask you, like, yeah. Was I not paying attention?
Yes.
Or were we supposed to know? Was this implied?
Yes, I didn't get any of that. There were a bunch of psychos that clanged axes together in the sewers before a night of old-fashioned raping. Like, I didn't know that they had an agenda.
Yeah,
this is an 80-minute movie with two music videos. Yeah. They had room to explain
it. They did. This
script was like 35 pages.
That is what I love. I'm just sitting there watching it, and I go, oh, there's a montage coming. Stallone loves a montage. Rocky 4 is four montages. Yeah,
that's right. The first 25 minutes of Rocky 4 are just recaps of the previous three.
Yeah, there's two extended. That's why I like doing 80s movies on this show, too, is because they knew that they could not hold our attention for longer than 90 minutes back then, so they were short.
I want to point out one of the cops outside who said, call in the Cobra. That was the Tooth Fairy from the Santa Claus Tim Allen movies. He was, you've seen him in a bunch of shows.
Yes, he plays a dad a lot. He plays like a football coach. I know who you're talking about.
There's a lot of that guys in this movie where you're like, oh, he's from something.
Yeah, the bad guy.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, we'll talk about Sledgehammer. The bad guy who looked like he had a chaw in the whole time. He went with like Marlon Brando. He had like something, maybe he was just doing a lot of yayo at the time. I'm like, I've seen that guy in everything. So I clicked on his IMDb and I did not, I'm like, this guy's been in 100 things, none of which I've seen except that he was one of the punks in the original Terminator that Arnold fucks up and takes their clothes.
Oh, in the bar.
Yes. Yeah. At the very beginning. Yeah. Okay. Cobretti, addressed by his codename Cobra, we already talked about that. Okay. Cobretti then kills the gunman by throwing a knife at his abdomen and then shooting
him four times.
Yeah, shooting him dead. Yeah, what? So confusing.
The belt and suspenders technique.
Yes. As the hostages and bodies are removed from the store, Cobretti is admonished by Detective Monty for his seeming disregard for police procedures and protocols. And look, I got to side with Cobra here, right? There's always this boss cop that doesn't like the way the fucking rank and file guys are doing it, you know? And somebody had to go in there, right? Somebody had to go in there and murder the bad guy or else he would have taken out the whole store.
Yes, but...
Yes,
The 80s movies raised us to think that the rogue cops doing it their way and internal affairs were the bad guys.
That's right.
Yeah. And we were all thinking like, yeah, the cops know what they're doing. They can operate outside the rules. And then we've seen a lot
Good
of point. George Floyd's
Good point. Yeah. So then he's getting, and hold on. I think I might have this clip too. He's getting like harassed by the press outside. He's answering questions of the press and he's like, hold on. I might have it here. Oh, harassed by reporters, Cobretti admonishes them for failing to prioritize the safety of potential victims. Little does everyone realize at the time that the supermarket hostage crisis is only one of a string of recently seemingly unconnected acts of violence and murder that have broken loose in Los Angeles, perpetrated by the same supremacist group the supermarket gunman mentioned. At any time when you're watching that movie, did you think that the first scene was connected at all to the bad guys in the rest of the movie?
I still don't.
No.
No.
Right. Yeah.
They tell us it is, but it's not. You have to connect it.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of murdering happening, and then eventually model and businesswoman Ingrid Knutson, and this is Brigitte Nielsen, becomes the New World's priority target after witnessing their members and their leader only identified as the Night Slasher. Now, is he the leader? He seems to me like he's just a grunt. Like he's just a dummy goes out and does the murders, right? Yeah. He seems a little special. Going on a killing spree. She is placed under the protective custody of Cobretti and his partner. Again, I watched this movie two nights ago, and I'm just now learning that dude that was addicted to Snickers was Cobra's partner. I just assumed they were both cops. They like knew each other.
You're talking about Poppy.
Again, when we talk about food.
Yeah, Poppy. Yes, exactly.
Poppy from Seinfeld. Yes. He didn't wash his hands in the restaurant.
Yes, that's him. So he's
also at this point, to interject, right around this time when they're fleshing out the character of Cobra, and you know he's harasses those delightfully racist Hispanic men.
Yes.
Parking his car, he crashes into him before he goes into his house with the big Pepsi logo.
Yes.
He must have improvised ripping that guy's shirt in that scene.
Oh, because he had a mic. He
was loud mic.
Yes. Yes. Hold on.
Go
ahead. I actually have that scene, but I don't know how much. He lives in Venice. He pulls up to his neighborhood. There's guys sitting in a 64 Chevy Impala doing nothing wrong. They're just sitting there parked on the boardwalk.
He crashes into them.
Yeah, and he just comes up and he crashes into them and pushes their car out of the way.
Fuck you.
Hola, chingao.
What's your problem, Sese? You touched my car, man.
Get him, Mando, orale.
Get him, Mando.
It's bad for your health, you know?
What is pinche?
They had to cast as this cholo, they had to cast a guy that was like 5'3". If you look throughout the movie, Sly is walking, like they have milk crates stacked up so that he can be taller than people. And in this case, that is what's happening because he's much taller than this bad guy.
Yeah, it's so.
Me. Clean up your act.
Yeah, he rips the shirt and there's the mic taped to his chest.
Chinga tu madre, pinche Joto.
Chinga tu madre, pinche Joto.
Hey,
stupido. You told him.
Yeah, all right.
Now, what's interesting?
They didn't like cut away from the microphone on his chest. Yeah. They just had him walk away right with the microphone on his chest.
Yeah. Yes.
At this point, as a trusting man, I was giving the movie a lot of credit, and I was like, "Oh, the guy's, you know, he's wired for sound. This is they're gonna catch, you know, Cobra doing something illicit later in the flick." No, it's just a laugh, Mike.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, maybe this guy is on some, he's undercover on another operation or something. And my chick's like, look, that's a continuity. Like they just, that's his mic. And I'm like, oh, you're fucking right. That's not even part of the story.
That's Stallone at the height of his powers. Like you got your one take.
Yeah.
And just kept walking.
Yeah. Just leave it in there. What's funny too, is that that's not the only time he encounters those guys. Like he has that, he has that encounter. And then the next time he pulls up,
them trained.
Yeah. They move the car and they're like, hey buddy, they're like best friends with him.
This also has my favorite through line in the movie, which is Sly writing himself one liners that almost make sense. Cause I think this is the scene where he takes the joint out of a guy's mouth and says, that's good for your health.
Yes.
And the guy goes, what is? And he goes, I am. It's like, wait, what? It's almost. It doesn't quite.
So model and businesswoman Ingrid Knutson Nielsen later becomes the New World's priority target after witnessing. So they're out on a raping mission.
I'm sorry to slow you down,
yeah.
But you're missing right after the scene where he rips the guy's shirt off when we see the mic and all
that. Oh, my God, yes. I skipped that part. Happen. Yes.
He takes a look at the morning newspaper, just the front page, and what does he do with it? He puts it on the grill.
On the barbecue.
He's like, put it on the apartment grill. Like, I don't need this news. Then he goes inside, finds a box of pizza.
Insane.
And what does he do with the pizza?
He takes out, you're like, what's he doing? He takes a pizza box out of the oven and a dozen eggs. And so, I mean, I kind of give it to him there. I'm like, cause you're like,
Rocky's going to
eat
the rice.
He's going to crack the eggs open and he's going to drink three eggs cause he fucking needs a protein. And you're like, what's going on here? And then he opens the egg carton and it's like the tools to clean his gun.
Mm-hmm. Why would you hide that in an egg crate?
I don't know. And then he takes a piece of pizza out of the box.
You said he has some problematic views on food.
Yes.
This was Sly at the height of his muscle man anorexia.
What happens with the pizza here?
Yes.
No. You know, does he take his leather gloves off for this? No.
No.
Does he pick up a slice of pizza by the tip?
Yes.
Cut it with scissors and only eat the tip?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yes.
Scissors!
He slices off like a 3-inch length of the tip of a piece of pizza. He tosses away the rest. He cuts it with scissors. He snips
it. Pizza shears.
Yeah, pizza shears. And then he sits there with his gloves and eats the corner of a piece of pizza that he's just cut with scissors while cleaning his gun.
But let's take a moment, because if he does that with leather gloves on, what else is, you know, if Cobra uses the restroom.
Yes. I didn't want to be the one to go there. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. If he uses the restroom, the gloves are on.
They
right?
are.
If he,
they absolutely are.
You know, if he's intimate with a partner, the gloves are on.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
These leather gloves. Oh.
Yeah.
Poppy.
Yeah.
Who is famous from Seinfeld for not washing his hands after using the restroom.
Maybe that's where he learned it.
Yeah. I learned it from watching you.
Yeah. 100%. So that is actually, it's actually, and I'm glad you reminded me, Ed, because it is maybe the key moment. Because one thing that doesn't happen in this movie is the characters are not in any way developed. So we don't really know what motivates anyone. We don't know.
You described Bridget Nielsen as a businesswoman, which is.
That's new. Yes.
If you watch the movie, news to me.
Yes. And, well, everything from the Wikipedia is news to me about this movie. You don't know.
There's no explanation for the robots coming up.
Yes. So, like, Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson's wife was murdered. You know, like, you get why he has a tenuous hold on life. Because he has got nothing to live for anymore. This Cobra, you don't know what the fuck makes him tick. You never find out. He's just a fucking guy that's a cop, that's a zombie squad, which apparently means he works at night. He really loves being a cop. He loves his car. He has his own, like, crime lab in his apartment for some reason.
Oh, we'll talk about that when it comes up.
There's something very
preparing people's faces to fingerprints.
Yes.
But Eddie.
Yes, he's by sight. Yes.
I would say that, like, the closest movie, it's not close, but Schwarzenegger made Commando right around this time.
Yes.
And it opens up where Schwarzenegger is living with his daughter,
Alyssa Milano. Mm-hmm.
And she gets kidnapped in the first scene or close to it.
Yes.
And, like, you know the motivation. Yes. You know what this is set up. This movie, like, a guy shot up grapes in a supermarket in a Ralph's, and then we're supposed to know it's connected, and he's cutting pizza with a scissors and beating up local people smoking weed.
And I was going
to... Well, these guys are in these movies, and then they're like, oh, no, this is what the movie is. And when they make one, they miss all the connective tissue.
Yes, and I think at this time, Because right now, if you take yourself back to 1985 when they're making this movie, Stallone is the bigger star than Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger is a star, but he hasn't done T2 yet. That doesn't come out till 91 or 92.
And Rocky IV had just happened.
Rocky IV's out. So Stallone is fucking huge. But Schwarzenegger is bigger in these type of movies. He's more right. of the action star. So he's doing Commando and The Running Man and all those kind of movies that are just fucking juicy, popcorn, like delightful action movies. And Stallone, you know, he's trying to make Beverly Hills Cop, but he wants it to be more of an action movie and less of a comedy. And then he pivots to this because he's like, no, I need to be the big action star. So in a weird way, he, even though he's a more, much more of a box office draw at this point, you can tell he is in competition with Arnie, who's mm-hmm. making the more, the funner movies at the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So
before we move on real quick, there is a full Toys R Us commercial in that scene, which...
Oh, yeah, the cartoon giraffes.
Yes.
I don't know
Jeffrey?
Why.
Are we talking about Jeffrey? Yes.
Yeah.
Movies don't have commercials in the middle usually, but this one, love
it. Yeah. He pops on the TV. He's watching the local... That's interesting. He's watching the local news, and they're like, there's all these murders happening, and there's all these rapes, and he's watching... And he's a cop... And it seems like he's learning all that information. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Wait, there's people being murdered? Somebody should tell me.
The police?
Yeah.
Nobody told the zombie squad, man.
He's on the zombie squad. He should be the one that knows that before the news. So Brigitte Nielsen becomes a target of the night slasher after she happens upon one of their nightly raping and murdering missions.
This is after the robot photo shoot with Sledgehammer?
No, this is right before. It's right before. And then she's like, she goes and does the, I don't remember how she reports it to the cops or whatever, but she goes and does her photo shoot after. Oh, I think that's what happens is she happens upon the murder. And because this is where we learn that the bad guys, the social Darwinists, bad guys with an agenda, are
if you say so,
they're tied into the cops because we learn that budget stalker Channing woman is working with the cops and she's feeding them all the information on where the cops are. So Brigitte Nielsen happens upon this murder, then she goes to a photo shoot where Carl from Succession, a.k.a. Sledgehammer from the great one single season 80s farcical TV show Sledgehammer, one of my all-time favorite shows, and somehow Carl from Succession is the same age in 1985 as he is on Succession right now.
That's true.
He's like, he's still 70 years old in 1985. It's crazy.
As for budget stalker Channing,
yes,
she, a little... tidbit, I remember she was the waitress in the Seinfeld Chronicles. She was supposed to be the female, like she was going to be the female foil. And then they're like, no, we need like a real foil for Seinfeld.
Yes.
And so then Julia Louis-Dreyfus came on after a couple of episodes.
This is like the gay houseboy that got fired from the first episode of The Golden Girls. You know, like there's always, or Phoebe from Friends was originally on Frasier. And then, you know, it's like there's
Adriana always, from The Sopranos doing Joey.
Yes.
Season 5 and 6.
Yes, exactly. There's always these stories. That's a very good one. Yeah, she's... I like that because she does the photo shoot with Sledgehammer and
with robots.
Yeah, with robots, and she's pretty hot. And then you can tell it's the 80s because the security guard's like, "Should I walk you out?" Because it's the city's dangerous, city's terrifying, and so he's like, and David Rash. Sledgehammer's like, nah, I got it. I'll take her out. And then he's walking her out, and he's just having like a very normal conversation. And he's like, you know, he's like, you should really just fuck me because it'll be good for your career. He's like, he's not even sexually harassing her. It's just the
80s. I'd be stupid to not want to, but I want you to do it for your benefit.
Yes, yes, that's what he says. Yes, yes.
He's a giver.
He's like, look, if you wanted, like, I'm a great photographer, so if you really want things to go places, you should probably just fuck me. And then
he's doing the job of a friend who should be wingman for him.
Yes, totally, yes. He's playing both sides of it. It's amazing.
You should fuck that guy himself.
Yes, yes. It's amazing. Then, unfortunately, he gets axe murdered because the cops know where she works apparently, and the bad guys via their inside source in the cops.
That was very woke of you, Brian.
Yeah, yes, they find out where she works, and but she's able to escape, right? And
these guys are bad with axes for people really, who only use axes.
And he's got that one knife that he really loves with the spikes on the knuckles.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, it's like, get a second weapon. That's not a very effective weapon in all situations. You figure, as a rapist and murderer, you would know better what weapons to use.
You can't hide that easily in your pocket.
No, it's too big. It's too large of a killing
knife. These guys with these axes are chopping pipes on the ceiling.
Yeah, they're missing. Yes.
It's one thing. It's a trope. You know, they shoot, you miss, you know, whatever, your henchman. It's a lot harder to pull off with a blunt weapon.
It really is. And with a long handle, you know, you need more daggers, more just blades, whatever, that, like the Rambo, the survival knife, like that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When several more failed attempts are made on their lives by various people connected to the new world, again, not clear to us, Cobretti theorizes that there is an entire army of killers operating with the same modus operandi. Rather,
at this point, yes. Based on what?
Right, right. But he's right, but only he knows that. Yeah. Because because Los Angeles, much like today, is a lawless place back then. You know, it's like, how do you know these murders are connected? Everybody's getting murdered every day. There's 250 rapes a day.
Not enough time in the day.
Rather than a lone serial killer with some associates, but his suggestion is rebuffed by his supervisors. Again, all too common. Think of all the lives that could have been saved in the 1980s, had boss cops occasionally believed the rank-and-file officers who were paid to investigate crimes. But they, no, never. However, the LAPD agrees with Cobretti that it will be the safest if he and Knutson relocate from the city. Now, this is mental.
Yeah, this is insane. What's done.
Yes.
It does nothing to solve the crime.
No. They're like,
I think they go to Cobretti's office, like his cop office, and I have in all caps, Cobra has a giant portrait of Ronald Reagan in his office.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
I just love how he opposed the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Yes, Poppy poses in front of it it's like a long shot. Also, they keep Brigitte Nielsen overnight in the hospital, despite the fact that she's not injured.
Yeah.
They're like, you just need to stay here where it's easier for you to be murdered. And then the bad guy comes in. He murders a poor janitor so he could steal his coveralls and his glasses. He's like, if I get these glasses on, they're never going to notice that I'm a murderer.
This is Clark Kent stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then he goes in and he tries to murder her. And it's desolate. Like, it's the middle of the night. There's no one at hospitals in the middle of the night. If you're in a hospital at the middle of the night, there's no patients, there's no nurses. It's completely empty. It's completely quiet. And then she pulls the fire alarm, and in 0.012 seconds, there's 300 people on that floor. Like, they're all just quietly behind doors until a fire alarm goes off. And then he gets lost in the crowd because there's 1,000 people in his between him and the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He turns around, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, damn it.
But so, so then they decide that they're, he's like, look, there's a whole team of these people. And the cop's like, no, there isn't. And they're like, but you better hide. So they go to like Big Bear or somewhere or like Idlewild. I couldn't really tell. It was, looked like the back lot of a set, but it was supposed to be, they said they're going upstate, which, look, this is California. You could be to San Francisco in like 5.5 hours, but they're like doing it in like shifts. So they go,
yeah.
They go to like some like mountainy place for some reason. They hide out, and then it says Cobretti becomes romantically involved with Ingrid shortly after venturing into the countryside. And look, Stallone played it cool, right? Ingrid had to be like, "Yo, Marion, why don't you come over and beat these guts?" Well, he was cleaning his gun.
Well, he's like, yeah, he's like, go to sleep, and then proceeds to loudly assemble machine guns.
So much clicking. How could you sleep through that? He's like, go to sleep, and it's like, click, click, click.
He's laying grenades on a tape.
Is it a turn on for someone to get in your car and you're like, hey, you need to put on these race car harness seatbelts? Why did that car? Yes. It wasn't like this was a death.
This is a pre Vin Diesel world. Yes.
It did help though, because he did launch it off the second floor of a parking structure at some point.
Like, true,
she needed that seatbelt.
Yeah, I was watching that. I was like, he took a wrong turn in that parking. Oh, all right. This is a part of the movie, too, where, you know, there's the impending, the gang is coming to catch up with them.
Yeah.
And the timeline of the movie,
insane.
As we'll talk about, gets insane. Really skewed because this is something I may have missed, but I think we're saying that repeatedly. You know, the lady cop who is, a turncoat.
Yeah,
as informed.
Well, she's a social Darwinist undercover as some type of a cop.
Yeah, because and you can tell in this era because she's not attractive.
Yes.
So she informs them, and we get a scene of the New Order riding out.
Yeah,
and there are like 8 more scenes before they arrive.
Yeah,
there are like 3 location changes for Sly and Brigitte.
Yeah.
But we see them riding. It must have taken days.
Yeah, and it's
and there's one scene, one of the like the standalone scenes where they're just trying to show the little flirting, and they make a pit stop at like some random gas station.
Yep.
And the store they're in sells a whole row of rubber chickens. Yes. Like, have you ever been at a rest stop and be like, fuck?
Yeah.
I need a Gatorade and a rubber chicken, please.
No, I was like, shit, they went to Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it was like a weird like roadside stall, and it was like something you'd see in Mexico or something. And I'm like, how many tourists are coming by this out of the way podunk little town that you can sell tchotchkes at this level?
Chickens.
Yes.
Well, and this, you know, I'll talk shortly about it, the food here, but. In the beginning of the movie, when Sly swigs his beer, he's leaning up against the Pepsi cooler. Yep. His apartment is next to a giant neon Pepsi sign. And around this point in the movie, though, when, Sly's partner tells Brigitte, you know, his name is Marion Cobretti.
Yeah.
They're drinking Coke.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
They're leaning against the Coke machine drinking Coca-Cola.
Wow.
I was like, who is paying for this movie?
Wow, the Pepsi people had to be pissed.
Ah, a nightmare.
But he does take the matchstick out of his mouth to blow Ivan Drago's wife's back out.
Yeah, he does. He does. Well, and that is weird because they're like, we got to be on the run. And then they stop and they linger and they have dinner and he's assembling guns and they're also she's protected by exactly 2 cops. Well, technically 3, but one of them is actually a double agent. And like,
one of them's Poppy, who doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Yeah, you could have been much further away at this point. And as far as you got away, he needed a fuck. And as far as you got away, still somehow. The bad guys waited until the morning when they lost the the advantage of darkness and the possibility that you would be asleep.
You want a well-rested opponent. You do.
I think Sun Tzu had that in like chapter 4.
Yes, yes.
The Art of War.
Before we get there, because I need to harp on it, the constant food talk in this movie is so aggressive and so bizarre. Every interaction, you know, Fly's partner's only character trait is that he likes junk food.
He likes sugar,
You know, and Fly's like, you need to be fishing right. He tries to make Brigitte eat an apple, and I think it really comes to a head in that diner scene before we get to, you know, the safe house.
Hold on. Before you tell that part, you've glossed over the fact you said, Brian,
I just want to point out that we've discussed, like, not much. We're about 25 minutes from the end of the movie already.
No, there's not much movie, which is great. Zach, you're like, oh, he tries to get Brigitte to eat an apple, which is a very moderated way of saying he was eating an apple.
Take a bite of the apple.
And he had bitten all around it. There was no clean skin left of the apple, and he offered it over to her and said, "You want a bite?" Who fucking takes a bite of somebody else's disgusting chewed apple?
You want the core?
You know,
Ms. Drago.
I went there with, you know, the multiple one-liners in the supermarket.
Yeah.
But in every food scene, the beats are off because, you know, he could say, "Do you want a bite of the apple?" And it's silly. But he belabors it.
Yeah.
He, like, argues with her. He's like, "You need to be eating healthy food. You have a bite of the apple." And every time, you know. Yeah. But it really came to a head to me in the diner because I think he sees inside Sly's head. Because even before the weird French fry interaction, at one point, Sly picks up a big, you know, burger thing on the counter. He goes over. He's like, "I got your entree." And she's like, "It's more for a big family." And he sets it down. And I think
he's
that's
a food shamer.
He's a real... But like the fact that none of that's on the cutting room floor, and I don't know
who the bad
guys are.
There probably was nothing on the cutting room floor. This movie is, like you said, it's 80
it was shot
minutes
8 days.
With two montages. Like the script was 35 pages.
Yeah. So
I will say though, if you have working knowledge of like Los Angeles, any of these car chases begin in downtown and end up on dock.
Oh no, that was really important. Yeah, there was I told my chick that I'm like, they just shot a bunch of car shit and then edited it together because they're downtown, then they're in Venice, then they're in San Pedro, and I'm like, those places are not close. And at one point, they're on the freeway, and then the very next scene, they're on a side street. I'm like, I didn't see them exit. Like, what they should.
That's
still
a
be
90-minute car chase in real time.
Yeah, no, it was crazy.
You know, Stallone got Final Cut, and he's like, "Too much car, not enough close-ups." Cut it.
So, I two things. One, I don't want to give Sly the benefit of the doubt here.
Don't.
But the way she was eating those French fries, what was going on with that ketchup?
Like a serial killer. No, she didn't put it in like a little pocket to dip. She just sprayed it all over like a bukkake.
She slathered it on, and then she ate a few fries, and then just continued to slather. I'm like, what? This is a fork situation. You're just putting your fingers in it. You don't even have black gloves.
It's another Sly one-liner that almost makes sense, too, because he says, "We're going to have to get you a life jacket." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Your fries are drowning." It's like, well, wouldn't you get the fries a life jacket? Yeah. Like, it's almost there. It's 90% there.
Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Easy Ed Daily and the man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud.
overcome us conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS.